God is good all the time. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. If you need a bulletin, you could lift up your hands and one of the ushers will come down the aisle and give you a bulletin that has the announcements as well as the study guide for our study this morning. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 in your Bibles. I want to welcome all those online that are watching via live stream. Let's make some noise for all of them watching online. If you're watching online, I invite you also to bring your Bible so that we can study together. As we turn to Luke chapter 8, don't forget we have free photo shoot in the fellowship hall after service for all families, everybody. We want to bless you with that. You would have to download the pictures from our Facebook page, but it's a free family photo. How many know that life is made up of moments? Right, so you want to capture the moments in your life, as well as I want to remind us that we are having today a chocolate strawberry fundraiser for our vacation Bible school for our kids. So after service, if you want to support that, it's in the patio out there. You could support that strawberry chocolate something. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. When everybody's there, say amen. Now it came to pass afterward that Jesus went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings or the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12, someone say 12, and the 12, that refers to the 12 male apostles, the 12 apostles, that's shorthand for the 12 male apostles. I want you to notice something here. It says, and the 12 were with him. And then notice verse 2, because the 12 were not the only group of people that were with him. Notice verse 2. And certain women. Someone say women. I think that's very interesting to note, because oftentimes we talk about the 12 apostles. We celebrate the 12 apostles. But what I want you to note is that Jesus' ministry, it's going strong. He's preaching the gospel, demonstrating the kingdom of God. And his 12 apostles are on one side. They're following him, right? Everything is cracking. It's popping. And his 12 apostles are following him. But they're not the only ones that are following Jesus. On his other side are the women. Someone say the women. On the other side are the women, and the Bible goes on to actually identify these women and describe these women, because these weren't just ordinary type of sisters, right? They were not ordinary type of women. It takes an extraordinary type of sister to follow Jesus. It takes an extraordinary type of mother to follow Jesus. And I think it's noteworthy in the scripture that the Bible doesn't describe the 12 apostles, but it describes the women. And it kind of gives their rank and their testimony. And look at what it says. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Someone say, ouch. I told you these wasn't no ordinary type of sisters. Then the Bible goes on to identify a couple of them. Look at what it says. Mary, someone say Mary. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. I want you to note that in your mind. Not one demon. That would have been bad enough. Some of y'all got delivered out of a half a demon and y'all were terrible. Yeah, I know. I ain't going to name no names. I know some of y'all, right? You were delivered out of half a demon. You were out running raggedy in the street and everything. This sister got delivered out of seven demons. I ain't going to give her testimony, but I can't wait to get to heaven and meet this sister right here. I told you these weren't no ordinary sisters. She got delivered from seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Now note that in your mind, because don't just rush through your Bible. There's nuggets in your Bible. Herod's steward. Anybody remember who Herod was? Herod was the king of the Jews. So when it talks about Herod's steward, it's talking about someone who was in the temple, someone who was in the palace. So I want you to notice the type of sisters that Jesus was calling unto himself. You had Mary Magdalene, who presumably was just an ordinary individual who had, you know, the enemy was running throughout her life. But then you had the sister who possibly grew up in the palace, but was living possibly in the palace. How many know that Jesus knocks down all walls of division? You may have money, but you got the same devil that was messing up Mary was messing up you. You may have clout, but the same devil that was messing up Mary was messing up you. His sister Joanna, she was living in the palace. The same devil who tried to ruin Mary was also ruining her. But thank God we have the same Lord who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Because the same Jesus who delivered Mary is the same Jesus who delivered Joanna. That's a picture of diversity here. It's a picture of our church. We got people from all different types of backgrounds in our church. All types of different backgrounds. And I praise the Lord that God is bringing people from all different types of backgrounds and making us one family in the kingdom of God. Only Jesus can do that. So notice in the text, go back to the text. Herod's steward and Susanna and many others who provided for him from their substance. So the women, they gave to Jesus out of their own stuff. Did you catch that? They gave to Jesus out of their own stuff. They provided for Jesus. You study the life of Jesus. How do you think Jesus got from one place to another? It was hugely because of the women that were providing for him and helping him and cooking for him and ministering to him and strengthening him when he was discouraged. You study it. They had a major, major role in bringing down the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Mother's Day this morning. And we thank you for your word. We open it up to learn, to grow, to be inspired, and if need be, corrected in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. So, my brothers and sisters, in honor of Mother's Day, I want us to study this morning from the subject, the kingdom view of women. The kingdom view of women. And we have been learning, if you've been journeying with us at Chapel of Change, we've been learning a lot about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And my prayer is that I'm teaching us how to view life through the lenses of the kingdom. That's my prayer. This is the reason why we teach and we preach the word of God, is because we want you to be able to view life through the lenses of the kingdom. We want to be able to view our purpose through the lenses of the kingdom. We want to be able to view our work through the lenses of the kingdom. We want to be able to view our family through the lenses of the kingdom, suffering through the lenses of the kingdom, our pain through the lenses of the kingdom of God. Now, maintaining the right perspective in life is crucial to your victory. Maintaining the right perspective in your life is vital. I learned a long time ago. I remember when I was in prison, one of my mentors, brother Russell Waters, he taught me a long time ago. He said, Brian, it's not what happens to you that crushes you, but it's how you view what happens to you that can crush you. Not what happened to you. That if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, can't nothing crush you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But it's how you view what happened to you can determine victory or defeat. So the enemy wants you to look at your pain through the lenses of this world. He wants you to look at life through the lenses of your pain, through the lenses of your suffering. He wants you to look at life through the lenses of CNN and Fox News. I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amens out of that. The enemy is fighting for your perspective. So it's very important. The reason why we teach the word of God and preach the word of God is because I'm trying to take the spiritual cataracts off your eyes. I'm trying to surgically remove the cataracts so you could see through the lens of the kingdom, the lens of the word, the lens of Jesus, the lens of God, so you could see yourself as God sees you. Is anybody following along? Now, if you've been journeying with us, you'll remember that the kingdom of God is God's alternative civilization amid the world's fallen civilization, governed by his reign, his presence, and his order. This is the working definition that I'm always bringing back to you as it relates to what is the kingdom of God. Now, remember, the kingdom of God is so vast, is so large, that no one definition can contain all that it has because it's too powerful. But I'm giving you this working working definition to help you kind of put your mind around. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he talked about an alternative civilization that is governed by his reign, his presence, and his order. It's God's alternative civilization, God's alternative society on earth. We are governed by different values. We are governed by different ethics. We are governed by different behaviors. When Jesus looked at Pilate when he was getting crucified, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world." In other words, we don't operate like the world. We don't see things like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't think like the world. Someone say amen to that. And so this morning, my brothers and sisters, in honor of Mother's Day, I want us to tackle the question, what is the view of women in the kingdom of God? What is the view of women in the kingdom of God? Not America's view, not Asia's view, not Africa's view, not even the Polynesian view of women, but what is the kingdom's view? Are you following along? What is the kingdom's view? Now listen to this. I've been pumped up to share this message with you. It's I want to challenge you. I want to empower you. I want to encourage you. But I'm giving this message for two primary reasons. One is I want my sisters and our mothers in the house to begin to see yourself as Jesus sees you. I want you to see yourself as critical and valuable to the kingdom of God. This is the reason why I'm sharing this message with you, so that you could see yourself through the lenses of the kingdom. Too many times we deal with sisters and mothers who have been crushed by low self-esteem, crushed because the enemy has crept up into their mind and they're looking at themselves through the lenses of their pain and their suffering instead of the word of God. And so my prayer is that you be empowered this morning as we go through this study. But I'm also sharing this message for our brothers in the house. I'm sharing this message to our brothers in the house because I want you to be able to see how Jesus viewed women. I want you to be able to see how Jesus viewed women. I want you to be able to see how critical and valuable women are to the kingdom of God. So my brothers in the house, even though I'm preaching this message on the kingdom view of women, don't check out. Don't check out, because many of us have been taught wrong how to view women. Many of us have been skewed in our thinking how to treat women and how to interact with women. And if anybody's up in here, my brothers need to hear this message, because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to see how Jesus saw. If we are a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to do what Jesus did. If we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we're going to like what Jesus liked. The Bible teaches, as he is, so are we in this world. That's what a disciple is. It's a follower of Jesus Christ. That means we come underneath the rule of Jesus. We come underneath the reign of Jesus. What Jesus like, we like. What he dislikes, we dislike. Where he went, we go, right? What he did, we did. We are followers. We're not fans. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Jesus. I don't just hit like on his posts. I'm a follower of Jesus. And so my brothers, again, don't check out. Don't check out. I need you to lean into this message, because I'm going to take you on a scriptural journey on how Jesus defended, valued, and dignified women. Now, in order to appreciate how Jesus radically transformed our view of women, we must first look at the first century Jewish culture's view of women. This was the day in which Jesus lived in. This is his peers that Jesus operated in. And so I taught you a couple weeks ago that to appreciate the good news, we must first understand the bad news. Anybody remember that? You're not going to appreciate the good news until you understand the bad news. And so before I can take you to the good news, and don't, we're going to get to the good news, all right? We're going to get to the good news, but I got to take you through the bad news first so that you could appreciate what Jesus did in the presence of all his peers. We need to understand the culture in which Jesus lived in so you appreciate how he radically changed the way we view women. Does anybody follow along? So in the culture that Jesus lived in at that particular time, they looked poorly upon women at that time. They looked poorly upon women. They had a low view of women. Women were not allowed to be educated. Women were not allowed to worship with men in the sanctuary. Women had no voice in marriage. It was the father who decided when, who, and why she married. Women were not allowed to talk to men in public. In fact, the Jewish men would warn the young men not to talk to women in public. This is how bad it was in Jesus's days. Are you following along? It gets worse. The oral tradition taught at this particular time that it is a shame for women to let her voice be heard among men. Got to go through the bad news to get to the good news. You got to understand the bad news in order to appreciate what Jesus did. And the pressure that he was under to appreciate he didn't cave in to the pressure of his peers. Problem today is we got too many people that are pressure cases. Anybody remember that term, pressure case? It gets even worse. It gets even worse. Every day, the men would say a prayer. Now, this was a bad prayer. I mean, you know, sometimes people pray bad prayers. This is what they would pray. Listen to this. It was terrible. They would say, praise be to God, he has not created me a Gentile, which is an unbeliever. Praise be to God, he has not created me an ignorant man. And praise be to God, he has not created me a woman. If you can't say amen, say ouch. This was terrible. This was the terrible view that Jesus's generation had on women. In fact, since the fall of Adam and Eve, we taught this several weeks ago, since the losing of the kingdom of God in the Garden of Eden, generally speaking, women had been viewed as second-class citizens since the fall of Adam and Eve. But something happened that changed everything. Something happened that gave women their honor back, their dignity back. Something happened that changed everything. Does anybody know what happened? Jesus happened. Someone say Jesus happened. Someone say Jesus happened. Jesus happened. And as you know, we teach this all the time. When Jesus shows up and the kingdom of God shows up, Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Everything. He changes the way we think. He changes the way we behave. He changes the way we view women. If we are followers of Jesus, we must value what he valued. We must like what he liked. We must do what he did if we are followers of Jesus. And when Jesus shows up anywhere, he changes everything. He's a game changer. Now, Jesus, in his days of living, was the visible expression of the kingdom of God. He was the visible expression of the kingdom of God. So notice back on Luke chapter 8, verse 1, what we read. He went through every city and village preaching and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. So Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. He demonstrated the kingdom of God. He brought the kingdom down. Jesus brought the kingdom down. So what I want you to get this morning as we go along in our study, that by Jesus's words and actions, we see the kingdom of God. By his words and actions, we feel the kingdom of God. By his words and actions, we learn about the kingdom of God, and we learned about kingdom life through the demonstration of Jesus. He didn't just talk about it, but he went about it. You studied the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He demonstrated the kingdom of God. And if you're a follower of Jesus, I gotta say it again, you must follow him. Because the king's view is the kingdom view. The king's view is the kingdom's view. Write that down if you're taking notes. The king's view is the kingdom's view. Now, let's go on a scriptural journey to see the king's view of women. I'm going to do a lot of summarizing of these events that Jesus had. But as I summarize what Jesus said and did, I want you to keep in mind the culture in which Jesus operated in. I want you to keep in mind the generation in which Jesus grew up in, that they had an extremely low view of women back then, that they looked down upon women back then, and they even tried to keep women down. So as I summarize what Jesus did, keep that in your mind, because Jesus comes along and he changes everything. What did Jesus do to change everything? Number one, Jesus ripped down customs that were against women. He tore down customs that were against women. He ripped down customs that were against women. John chapter 4, Jesus shocked his disciples by talking in public to a woman. Remember, in his culture, they did not talk to women in public. Not only was this woman, not only was she a woman, but she was also a divorced woman. Not only in John chapter 4 was she a divorced woman, but she was a divorced woman who was currently living in sin with her boyfriend. How many know it's still sin to live with your boyfriend? Not only was she a divorced woman living in sin, but she was what the Bible called a Samaritan. And Samaritans were looked at as dogs in Jesus's generation, right? The sister had four strikes against her. California gets three strikes. She had four strikes. Yet Jesus was not ashamed of her. Jesus was not ashamed of her. In fact, John chapter 4 records the longest private conversation that Jesus has with anyone in the New Testament, and it is with a woman. The longest conversation that Jesus ever has is with a woman in public. It gets deeper. Can I take you deeper? Jesus honors this lady with being the first person he revealed himself openly to as the coming Messiah, the Christ, the Lord of Lords, Son of God. He reveals himself first to this woman. Now, this is significant because in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, sneaks to Jesus at nighttime because he's afraid of all his friends, and Jesus doesn't even tell him nothing about him being the Messiah. He waits until John chapter 4, and he gets in front of this broken woman and says, "I am he who everybody's been waiting for." He reveals himself to this broken woman. He's not ashamed of her. He's not ashamed of her. In John chapter 8, Jesus rose to the defense of a guilty woman. Jesus was teaching in the temple in front of all the religious leaders, and someone threw a lady in front of him who had been caught in adultery. Don't ask me how she got caught. But she got caught. She was guilty in adultery. She was committing adultery. And the religious leaders got the woman. And presumably some scholars believe that she was like tore up because they had messed her up. And they throw her in front of Jesus. And they tell Jesus, "Jesus, what do we do with this case?" And according to custom, she deserved to die. According to custom at that time, she deserved to be stoned to death. Instead, our Savior rose to her defense in front of everyone, and he saved her and forgave her. And he told her in John chapter 8, verse 11, he says, "Woman, I do not condemn you. Get up and sin no more." Jesus wasn't ashamed of her. Sisters, it's time for you to take your high place in the kingdom. Time for you to take your high place in the kingdom. Jesus, when you study his ministry and his life, you'll learn that Jesus regularly made women heroes. He regularly made women heroes. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus spoke of a woman as the hero of prayer. When Jesus taught on persevering prayer, when he taught about not giving up, what does he do? He chooses a woman as a champion of prayer and tenacity. He talks about her not giving up. He talks about her being persistent and unrelenting to the unjust judge. He uses a woman as an example of prayer. Get this, I'm going to blow your mind. In Luke 18:1, Jesus says, men should always pray and not give up. Then he turns around and uses a woman as an example. He says that, Luke 18:1. He says, men ought to always pray and not give up. And then he turns around and uses a woman as an example of prayer and tenacity and perseverance. In other words, we need to learn how to pray like our mamas taught us how to pray. Not no pretty little prayers, not no little sunshine type of prayers, but some nitty gritty type of prayers. Mark chapter 12, Jesus spoke of a woman as the hero of giving. He mentioned the poor lady who outgave all the rich people. He mentioned a lady who gave all she had to the kingdom. He honored her for her sacrificial giving. He honored her with the male apostles. In Mark chapter 12, verse 43, he says, she has given more than everyone else because she gave out of her poverty. He gave her a badge of honor. He made her a hero of giving. Sisters, take your high place in the kingdom. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus makes a woman a hero of faith. A Canaanite woman pleaded with Jesus on behalf of her daughter who was demon-possessed. A Canaanite woman was looked at as a dog in the first century. They were looked down upon. Even his disciples tried to shut her up and throw her away, but she would not give up. She came back to Jesus, and Jesus turned around and gave her a badge of honor. Jesus tells her in Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, he says, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. He gave her what she wanted. Some of y'all men need to learn about that. Y'all catch that later. Sisters, take your high place in the kingdom. Jesus regularly shocked religious leaders by how he dignified women. Shocked the religious leaders. He didn't give in to peer pressure. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus takes the side of a sinful woman in front of all the religious leaders. Jesus is eating dinner at a house of a religious leader, and a sinful woman hears he's in the house, and she busses in. And many people believe that this lady is a lady of the streets. Many scholars teach that she was actually a prostitute, and she throws herself down at the feet of Jesus, and she begins to touch his feet. She washes his feet with her tears. She dries his feet with her hair, and everybody is shocked. The religious leaders are shocked, but let me tell you something. You know why they're shocked? Not because of what she did, but because of what Jesus did not do. You know what he didn't do? He did not pull back in shame. He did not push her away, but no, he led her. And it shocked the religious leaders. He was not ashamed of her. Now get this. Because this was a powerful moment. At that moment, the religious leaders lost all respect for Jesus. At that moment, they lost all respect for Jesus. At that moment, they began to doubt that he was a true prophet. But guess what? Jesus did not care. He was not ashamed of her. Sisters, take your high place in the kingdom. It gets deeper. Can I take you deeper? Can I take you deeper? Are you ready? Brothers, you hold on. Your day is coming soon. You just hold on. Put your seatbelt on. We'll talk about you later. Jesus' most faithful disciples were not the men, but they were the women. Look at this. I want you to compare something with the scripture that I opened out on. Luke chapter 8. And the 12, which was the 12 apostles, were with him. And certain women. Now get this. Because at this time, the ministry of Jesus is popping. It's on and cracking. People are getting healed. He's going from city to city. He's bringing down the kingdom. People are being raised from the dead. People are being fed. People are getting healed from sickness. And the apostles are right there. They're right there on the side of Jesus. It's on and cracking. And the women on one side and the apostles on the other side. It's on and cracking. Luke 22 verse 55, the party's over. They crucify Jesus. They hang him up high. They shame him in front of everybody. They brutally kill him. They lay his body flat and they carry his body from one place to the grave. And the Bible says in verse 20:55, as his body, that's the body of Jesus, the party is over. No more healing, no more cracking, no more nothing popping at this time. Everybody is weeping and crying. And look what it says. And his body was taken away. The women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. What? Hold up. Don't run through this. What are you talking about? When everything was popping and then the party was going on, it says that the 12 and the women were there. You look at verse 55. Where is the other? Jesus suffered from absentee men. We're still struggling with that today. That's a whole different other sermon. The women did what they always done. They comfort Jesus. They provided for Jesus. They took care of Jesus. And we often speed through this, but the women watched for 6 hours as he was crucified on the cross. And I read in history that people would throw up at the sight of somebody getting crucified. But not our women, not kingdom women. They were right there encouraging Jesus, praying for Jesus, telling him to hold on. Your third day is coming. You're going to rise again. Jesus was performing miracles. The men were there. But when Jesus was taken to die, the 12 disciples, except for John, checked out. They all said, see ya, Jesus. But the women were faithful to the brutal end. Sisters, take your high place in the kingdom. When Jesus rose from the grave, who do you think he gave the honor and the privilege of being the first preachers of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Who do you think he gave the honor to? Remember, the resurrection is the greatest victory in all of history. Everything hinges on the resurrection. Apostle Paul said, if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, we are still in our sins. Who did Jesus give the honor to be the first ones to proclaim the resurrection? Was it Peter, Apostle Peter, the one who said, I'm going to be with you till the wheels fall off. I'm never going to deny you. The one who walked on water? No, he was too busy being moping and groping. Was it James? No. He locked himself up in a room because he was scared for his life. Know who it was? It was a woman. Mark chapter 16 verse 9 says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. You remember that sister, right? You remember that sister, right? That sister whom Jesus delivered from 7 demons. Not 1 demon, not 3 demons. That's why it takes a special type of sister to follow Jesus. It takes a special type of mother to persevere. Those that know that they know what Jesus has done in their life. She was there. Sisters, take your high place in the kingdom of God. Mostly everybody wanted something from Jesus. Mostly everybody approached Jesus to get something. When Jesus was on this earth, mostly everybody came to Jesus to try to get something. They either wanted a healing, they wanted some food, they wanted Jesus to do something. There's only 2 groups of beings in the Bible that the Bible says ministered to Jesus. Only 2 groups of beings. One was the angels in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. The angels ministered unto Jesus. You know who the other group was? The other group was the women. In Luke chapter 8, verse 3, King James Version says, the women ministered unto Jesus. They didn't just want to take from him. They just didn't want something from him. They said, no, we come to give back to you. We come to minister to you. We come to comfort you. We come to strengthen you. Why am I saying this? Why am I saying this? sisters and mothers. God is raising up an army in these last days to bring his kingdom down. And we want you to know at Chapel of Change that you are a vital part of the army of God in our generation. And God is calling you and anointing you, and he's transforming your story into his glory. So my challenge for everyone today, every sister, every mother, my challenge is for you to accept the call of God upon your life, regardless of your brokenness, regardless of what you've heard, regardless of what's happened to you in your life. Jesus is calling you to his throne. He's calling you to his throne. In fact, when the Apostle Peter preached one of the most powerful sermons ever recorded in all of history in Acts chapter 2 verse 17, he did not leave out. He purposely put in verse 17, he says, in the last days, someone say last days. That's the days we're living in. In the last day, we are part of the last day. We are a last day church. We are a last day movement. God is pouring out his spirit. In the last days, listen to this. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And get this, your sons and your daughters. Your daughters, your daughters, your daughters, your daughters, your daughters, your daughters will prophesy. He's calling you. 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 Sisters, it's time for you to take your high place in the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as everybody remains seated in the presence of the Lord, as the worship team comes back up, I want us just to reflect upon the word of the Lord just for a couple moments. What is it that the Lord was trying to get across to you? What was it that the Lord said to you? Not your neighbor, but to you. Let's bow our heads in reflection just for a couple moments on the word of the Lord as the worship team comes back up. Every head bowed and every eye closed. What was it that the Lord was trying to get across to you? While everybody remains seated, if there's anyone in the house today whom you feel that God spoke to you today, and in the past you have allowed the views of others, the views of this world, to hold you down. You have allowed pain to hold you down. You have allowed suffering to hold you down. You have allowed what other people did to you or said to you to hold you down. But today, you want to make a commitment to accept the call of God upon your life. You want to make a commitment to surrender to the King. You want to make a commitment to answer the call of Jesus, in which he's calling you to his throne. That is you this morning. I want to pray with you right where you're at. I'm going to ask that you just stand up on your feet. Just stand up on your feet. If you want to answer the call of God for your life today, stand up on your feet. You heard the word and you feel like that message was just for you, and you're tired of living off of the perspective of someone else. You're tired of allowing someone else to hold you down, or what was done to you, or what was said about you. Stand onto your feet. The calling of Jesus is going out. He is not ashamed. He is not ashamed. For those of you who stood up, I'm going to ask that you say this prayer from your heart. Then I'm going to pray over you. Repeat this prayer from your heart. Lord God, I am sorry for listening to the opinions of others. I am sorry for allowing this world to hold me down. Today, God, I repent. I turn from my ways and I turn from my thinking and I surrender to you. I accept your calling. Use me, Lord. Use me for your glory. Use my life. Use my words. Use everything about me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray for all the ones that stood up, Lord God, to acknowledge you. Lord, you know what they've been going through. You know the struggles they have in their mind. I pray for victory today. I pray that the word that was preached, the word that Mama Beasley spoke to us, I pray that that word pierces their mind and cut out the scar tissue. Cut out the scar tissue in the name of Jesus. That's what the word is doing right now. It is cutting out the scar tissue. That's what it's doing right now. It's cutting out the scar tissue. That scar tissue has held you down. That scar tissue has helped let you on the, kept you down. That scar tissue must be cut out. Holy Spirit is cutting out the scar tissue. You will no longer see yourself as the world sees. You will no longer see yourself as your family sees you. You will no longer see yourself through your failure. You will not see yourself through your failure. No longer. No longer. Jesus has called you forward. He has called you up. He has called you up. He has called you up. Jesus is not ashamed of you. Jesus is not ashamed of you. Yeah, you may have messed up. Jesus knows. Yet he's still calling you. Holy Spirit is cutting that scar tissue. Let him cut that scar tissue. Let him cut it right now. If that is a word for somebody this morning, lift up your hands to God. If that word speaks to you, God is cutting some scar tissue. Lift up your hands and surrender to God right now. Just as a sign of surrender. Lift it up. Lift up your hands. The Holy Spirit is cutting that scar tissue. That scar tissue has been holding you back. No more. No more. No more. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the healing of my sisters. I thank you, Lord, for the healing of my sisters. I thank you for the anointing upon them. I thank that you're calling them, Father God. They're never going to be the same. No, they're not. They're never going to be the same, Father God. They're never going to be the same. They're part of the army of God. They're part of the kingdom of God. They have a high place in the kingdom, and they're going to operate from that high place. They are co-laborers together with us for the advancement of the kingdom of God. They are co-laborers. We are a team. We are a team. We're not going to let the enemy divide us. We are a team, hand in hand, working for Jesus, serving Jesus, advancing the kingdom of God in our generation. The Lord is turning our darkness into light, our wounds into healing, our story into his glory. Bless your people today. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise. You may be seated. Anybody receive something from the Lord this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good all the time.